Lawyers are calling for a less clunky, more flexible justice system to emerge from the pandemic lockdown. The advent of COVID-19 swiftly forced change on some of the traditional ways courts have operated, with the Chief Justice swiftly releasing new protocols. There was an immediate move to having more functions online and hearings via phone and video conferencing. This is something advocates for a more streamlined system have been calling for a long time before the coronavirus outbreak. So should the changed practices under lockdown be the catalyst for changes in the justice system for both criminal and civil proceedings? To discuss the pros and cons, the president of the Auckland District Law Society, Marie Dyberg, who says there's an appetite for change, and Dr. Bridget Toy Cronin, who's the director of the University of Otago Legal Issues Centre, also a senior law lecturer. She's involved with an Australasian legal collaboration looking at the impact of lockdown in justice circles. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Marie, what has the COVID disruption revealed for you on adapting these new ways for justice?
It wasn't necessarily the COVID situation that pointed to how the system was going, because we've certainly been advocating change before the pandemic struck. We have said if we put certain changes in place and if we really reconsider the clunkiness of the Criminal Procedure Act, we can do better than this. And so that is the call we were making ahead of time. But what the COVID-19 pandemic was able to do is to say the courts must continue. There's no question that shutting the doors is going to be an option. That was never going to be an option. How can we make the courts operate in a way that we utilise remote systems? What sort of hearings can we dispense with? What sort of paper-based chaos can we get rid of? And of course, when suddenly there is a necessity, then invention comes into place, and what happened was to say, we can do this remotely. We can deliver justice in the same way, but just in a different way. It's the mode that has changed. And so that's what we've seen, is that the remote system in dealing with the courts can be sustained. We can do away with a lot of these early administrative type processes that were in place, because somebody gets arrested, you can have 3 or 4 or 5 hearings for any person under the Criminal Procedure Act that really gets nowhere. So for us and who are dealing with the court system, it has been, see, it's proof we can do this. And in fact, we are doing it. What we need is for the Ministry of Justice to recognise we need the resources. At the moment, there's funding. The government is funding the courts and the court system, but that's really maintaining the processes that are in place now. It will take a lot of resources, a lot of finance, a lot of the budget to put these processes in place permanently, or as a way of saying we will recognise the legislation. Remote hearings are the default position, but that's for the administrative side of things. Keep the substantive hearings. They have to be face-to-face. They have to be witnesses. But give us the finance to maintain the system that will do away with a lot of the judge time, a lot of the court time, a lot of the lawyer time, and we'll definitely be more streamlined, we'll definitely be a lot more efficient, and we will get these cases dealt with much earlier than we're doing.
I thought we might look at some examples of what you're talking about, to become more efficient, less clunky. I think something like the preparation of psychological reports, for example, have become more efficient.
Well, they will, because the people that have been having to do these reports during lockdown have had access from their home laptops directly into the prisons. the people, and that's the same with lawyers getting instructions. We don't have to go to the courts anymore to get AVL. And corrections have worked very, very hard and very well for that to happen in their system. So you've got someone either from corrections preparing a pre-sentence report, experts who are preparing Section 27 reports, which are those reports that see the impact of culture on offending. They're able to do 4 or 5 a day instead of the 1 or the 2 if they're really lucky, by having to go and travel to the court. That is going to be huge, so that people can be sentenced when they should be sentenced, because there's no delay saying, look, we're still getting these reports, we're still backlogged, we've only got so many people who can do it, and therefore we're only be able to do 1 or 2 or 4 a week, whereas now we can just get into these reports, get them done, and before the court. So that's huge, because that means they're not being adjourned and waiting for these reports. Massive saving for everyone. And defendants want to be sentenced. They want to know. Their families want to know. Victims and complainants want it over and done with. So everybody now will have much more faith in the system that justice can be delivered for everyone. So that's just one example.
Dr. Toy Cronin, I'll bring you into the conversation here. You're part, as I mentioned, of a Trans-Tasman legal collaboration looking at how lockdown has impacted on both the New Zealand and Australian civil justice system. Can you summarise for us the findings?
So this project is about how remote hearings are working in the civil system. So that's, as Ray's been talking about, the criminal system, the civil system, to do with disputes between people like family law, employment, that sort of thing. So what we've been looking at is how lawyers and litigants are experiencing the hearing side of things. So this is the actual hearing that's being held remotely. And as Marie was talking about, a lot of the efficiency that comes from that has been noted by the participants, who are saying, you know, this is saving time, it's saving travel time, we can get through more work. And so that's a really positive thing that we'd like to see held on to in both the criminal and the civil system. As Marie was also saying, we have to be mindful about kind of what we're talking about in the context. So when we think about the justice system, people often think about, you know, a trial, because that's often the bit that we see on TV, is the, you know, the day in court. But both our civil and our criminal system have this huge part of it, which is all the preliminary stuff that goes on. And the civil system in particular is very paper-based, so filing things online, having letters and submissions going back and forth, that kind of thing. So creating some efficiencies there is really important to bringing that hearing date forward. But the actual hearing, and I'd agree with what Marie said, we want those really substantive hearings, the bit where you actually get on with the judging, to still be in person in most instances. Because what people are saying is, you know, it's really difficult, you can't really read the room, it's an important moment in a case, and those things, we still need to do that face-to-face. Well, that's the general thrust of what people are saying. But certainly these efficiencies could be picked up, and we've been advocating for it since, you know, well before the lockdown as well, that we really need to improve the efficiency of the civil justice system at the front end as well, that filing and the preliminary hearings.
Have you been surprised by the responses that you've had, or given that there has been a mood for change, as you and Marie have outlined, do you think that people responding have been reflecting that?
Yeah, I think it's probably bringing around some of the lawyers who were a bit more resistant, or, you know, just like for everyone who have had to get to grips with video conferencing and all their different jobs and all the things that they've been doing. You know, a lot of people have felt really fearful of that technology, or it seemed too difficult. And the pandemic has forced us all to get to grips with it. And so there are probably some lawyers who were maybe, you know, thinking this wasn't going to work for them, who've been surprised that it has worked for them in certain circumstances. But then there are, you know, there are another group of people who have always thought, or have for a long time thought, that we needed to move in this direction.
You mentioned before the paper-based system and the inefficiencies there, but let's be honest, there are real technological problems too that need to be sorted out, surely.
Yeah, and as Marie was saying, it's the investment that we need from central government to be able to pull a system like this together. And they're the big, scary tech project, which government's always a bit nervous about, because they have in the past and they can go wrong. You try and translate a very complex but very antiquated system across to a new platform, and there's risk there. The time's come to take that risk. The time's actually came quite a long time ago, but now I think it's become more and more apparent that we need to do that. And there are some great platforms. There's one that the UK uses, which are cloud-based filing systems, where, you know, if you do end up locked down, or even just for convenience, you can access the case files remotely. People can see other, you know, one lawyer can see another lawyer filing a document. So it just, it makes so much sense in both the post-pandemic environment, but also, we've still got a pandemic on, in the pandemic environment, and also just for convenience generally. But it is going to require investment to pull that together.
Marie, are you confident that there is an appetite for change? We live in these strange times and we talk of a new normal, but it could go back to the old normal, you know, human nature. So are you confident that these changes that you've both been talking about and the resources needed for them will happen?
Extremely confident that there is a huge appetite for change. It wasn't just the lawyers, you know, that needed a bit of coaxing. Because also corrections, parole board, prisons and so forth. So with the collegiality and cooperation, including property law, housing justice, all of these institutions, resource management, everybody has seen it works and it can be done. We do not want to go back to how it was before. We are absolutely committed to this, and there is has been set up a working group, which is the Criminal Procedure Working Group, very much at the district court level. The last 2 weeks there's been a subcommittee that has worked hours. All the legal systems, New Zealand Law Society, Auckland District Law Society, Criminal Bar, Māori lawyers, the Pacific Island group, the New Zealand Bar, we are all working together, the defence lawyers of New Zealand, and the people on that working select committee to start with have worked well into the small hours, getting all the feedback and all our submissions to it. So there is a huge appetite for change to keep the gains we've made. And we have people who are working pro bono, very long hours, to take that back to the judge, the chief district court judge, to take that back to the ministry and say, these are our recommendations, these are processes that we can help and we think should be put in place. We do not want to take our foot off the pedal. We do not want to go backwards. We want to keep the good and press on and not lose it. So the appetite is huge. What we're worried about is that for some reason we don't get the support of the government or the ministry, and somehow it slips back to the old way and we have made no progress by using what we have learned during this period. It can be done, it should be done, it must be done.
Thank you both for your time. Talking to Marie Dyberg QC and Dr. Bridget Toy Cronin.